today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Harvey Levin here.
Fabian here.
Derek here.
So the Amber Heard trial is on pause right now. However, we got a photograph of Amber Heard with what looks like a bloody lip. And she wanted to show this to the jury. Her lawyer certainly did. And the judge said no. And the reason is because she testified about an incident that where she says Johnny hit her and split her lip. And then they wanted to submit this photo. The problem is that in these trials, there's something called discovery. And that means each side has to trade information on what they've got.
Which is standard operating procedure. It's usually done before the trial.
Like, it always is done before
the
trial.
Of course.
And so this wasn't produced. Johnny's team objected. And the judge said, you know, you're right. This should have been done during discovery. So we're not going to let you submit the picture. So we got the picture. And it does appear to show a bloody lip.
Split lip, yep.
However.
And her holding a little note, right?
There's an issue.
Timing.
And well, is we're not actually, we're not talking, this is not a joke about comedy.
Right.
The first rule of
the first rule of comedy, right. No. This is also the first rule of trials.
Yeah.
And evidence.
So there's a problem because remember, Johnny Depp sued the tabloid in the UK.
Right.
And he said in that trial, you know, that this was defamatory, that they would call him a wife beater and all that. Amber testified in that trial.
Right.
And she testified about this incident. And she said that the incident occurred, the first incident of violence occurred in 2013.
Which was wrong, sounds like, which that's what she's saying now, that was actually wrong about that.
Right, well, but in the UK, she's testified under oath
so
that
under
the violent relationship, so, the violent aspects of the relationship started in 2013.
Here's the problem.
We get the metadata and of this photo.
The metadata of the photo shows?
Is 2012.
2012.
And her team is now saying, oh, she got the date wrong in the UK trial. She meant to say 2012. She got her therapist records now. So that's what they're trying to kind of clear up.
Which, by the way, is possible. Abuse victims don't operate along a strict chronology. They deal with their abuse. It comes back to them in waves. They may not remember timelines. However, in a trial, which is largely dependent on a group of unknown people believing your story.
Right.
And credibility is everything. These things begin to mount. That's why we looked at the makeup palette and when the makeup palette came up. That's why we're looking at this photo. These are big problems for her.
To your point about credibility, to this photo in the juries, it doesn't matter about credibility. This photo is not before the jury. This photo is just...
Oh, but guess what?
No.
I think it's going before the jury.
I don't think so, man.
No.
Like, just let's...
No, you're missing the point.
Let's assume this jury is not going to see this because they shouldn't be seeing
this. No, you're missing my point. They are going to see it.
Why?
It's because Amber's not going to submit this photo. Johnny is on cross-examination.
Why would the judge wouldn't allow this to be submitted. Why would he let Johnny Depp?
Well, she testified about it.
No. There's a difference. She can't use it to make her case, but that doesn't mean in cross-examination, Johnny can use it to impeach her testimony.
Oh, I see.
So
it can be entered into evidence.
It will
for
be
the
entered,
purpose of destroying her credibility.
That's right.
Which is allowed, right?
Yes.
It's called impeachment. Yeah. It's to make her look like a liar.
Interesting.
On a specific
point. The irony to all of this is that Amber wanted to submit it.
Yeah.
Couldn't submit it. I don't know at the time they tried, they understood this metadata problem because we got this yesterday. From Johnny's team about the metadata. So I don't know whether they knew it and sprung it on her. I'm guessing they didn't, because if they didn't, they would have let her go down the rabbit hole, submitted the evidence, and then impeached her with it after she, you know, explained it.
Sounds like they're going to impeach her either way.
They're going to use the photo. They will use the photo next week.
Two things I want to say about this. One, this photo, yes, it shows her with a busted lip. You know, was it as a result of Johnny? I have no idea. Her holding up the sticky note saying, I'll be back, and supposedly that was written by Johnny Depp. That looks so goddamn staged. It looks so staged to me. It's like, hey guys, look, he wrote, I'll be back. Like, are we actually buying this? Let's just be honest about this. The reason this photo is out on our website is because Amber Heard is losing the trial in the court of public opinion. That's what's really happening. And I think that's all she and her team care about. Who cares about the actual trial?
Well, she does because look, it doesn't matter how much money Johnny gets. If Johnny asks, he's asking for $50
million.
Yeah,
Amber Heard is not rich.
She's not rich, but she makes money. and Johnny can attach her wages. If Johnny wants a pound of flesh of this and gets a judgment, she is in trouble because every penny she makes,
right.
they can attach it. So the stakes are there for Amber.
Right.
And it would also be crippling.
And by the way, don't know that the tide hasn't shifted some with Amber's testimony because a lot of people say, look, I listened to her. There are people saying, it just felt real. And
I don't know where you're seeing that or hearing that, but like if you look, I'm gonna use Twitter as the litmus test here. They're calling BS on all her testimony. Yeah, like some people here in our office are saying, oh yeah, she's compelling. She comes off as believable. A lot of people don't buy that. A lot of people say she's putting on a big show and crocodile tears, et cetera. I'm going to disagree with that consensus of like, oh, the tide is turning. It is not. It certainly is not.
I thought it was turning a bit. I thought she was very specific and credible and believable in some of her testimony. I think this kind of stuff is devastating. Yes. And the reason is—
To her.
So she's built this mountain of testimony saying there was abuse. This isn't the only abuse. This is one.
Right.
And so it seems like, okay, so this one is from 2012 and it sort of undermines her story.
Right.
That's not the way people process stories. She can give this entire mountain of testimony and say, well, this was one thing that I misremembered. But in the minds of the jury, it's like, well, if you misremember the incident where he split your lip and it doesn't line up with your timeline, I can't believe anything you said, and it starts to crumble.
I don't think this is an issue of misremembering. Either they're going to believe her or they're going to think she's making it up. That's the problem. It's more than just misremembering. It's,
I agree,
did this destroy her credibility? And I think that's the issue here. And also—
it's a keystone brick in her testimony rather than just one brick.
And this, and Fabian, the only thing I would say to you is, I'm sure you're right about Twitter, but no, I'm sure you are. But Twitter,
you are the Twitter expert.
Twitter is not the jury.
You're right.
And look, this Twitter is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, Twitter can be pretty spot on. So look, to each their own on how they perceive her testimony. I watch her testimony, and she's like—
If you look
at her on the stand, she's like looking at the jury like, and he hit me, and he did this. I'm like, it looks like a soap opera performance to me. That's what it looks like.
And people are memeing it.
They are memeing it.
You do understand that everybody in a trial like this gets coached on how to act on the stand.
Well, whoever's—
Johnny did too.
By the way, shame on her legal team for not submitting this. Like, they are scrambling right now. Like, this legal team of hers is— They stay screwing up from what I've seen. They can't pronounce anyone's name correctly. They can't submit evidence on time. Like, they just don't know what they're really doing, in my opinion. So
I still ultimately think this case is a mess where nobody can really win a verdict from a jury sitting down. They've seen too many videos of Johnny Depp wildly out of control while drinking. They've now heard about this timeline.
Right.
How do you give him a victory? I don't think that's really possible either.
What if it's 0-0? When you walk away,
right.
who wins, who loses if it's 0-0?
I think if you're asking about how the public perceives people, Johnny Depp has obviously already won this trial. And again, in the court of public opinion, people are firmly in Johnny's camp on this. Whether that has any bearing on his actual real life career, I don't think that matters. Even if Johnny wins, studios are not going to take him back. They've made their decision. They're not going to pivot and be like, oh, we were wrong. Come back and start another mainstream A-list movie. They're not going to do that. They've already made their decision on Johnny Depp. He's out.
I'm shocked that you would say he's the winner. Do you know
who they said exactly that about back in the day before you got here?
Mel Gibson.
Well, Robert Downey too.
Well, yeah, but Mel Gibson is more the appropriate comparison because he was sort of— He said some foul things, and yet you're right. He did continue in a
career. Are we saying that Mel Gibson had a career comeback entirely? Mel Gibson was a gigantic star.
Yeah.
He will never attain status
but
again,
you know, but,
and neither will Johnny Depp. You guys crazy.
But
Johnny Depp is a wife beater in the court of public opinion. Maybe not on Twitter, but in the court of public opinion, he will never recover from this. Forget Pirates
of
the Caribbean.
In the court of studio opinion, let's put it that way.
He's older now. His career's done. The real loser, if it's 0-0, is Amber.
Well, the older part is maybe why his star is falling, because that just happens.
Right.
It happens to most
actors.
It happened
to Mel as well.
But I'm saying Mel got back to the position he probably would have been in even if that didn't happen.
Yeah, because Mel Gibson directed Hacksaw Ridge. That was nominated for Oscars. That was like a big deal.
This guy was Lethal Weapon and Mad Max.
No, but he's not anymore.
Okay, let's remember what happened to Mel Gibson.
Yeah, you're right.
The Beaver was an inspiration for a really good television show.
Right.
Okay, Sharon Osbourne.
Oh.
Okay, I am interested in this. So we got Sharon out at Neiman Marcus in Beverly Hills.
Mm.
And I am fascinated by this because, you know, look, I am on the side of let most people on Twitter, you know, don't allow violence, don't allow bots, don't allow, you know, child porn, all of that obvious stuff, right. Don't allow.
But all the noxious speech.
You have to. I mean, it's not about speech you agree with. That's easy. It's speech you find abhorrent that you should allow on and trust people enough that they can separate truth from fiction. And by the way, they won't do it all the time, but if you start being their parent and you start censoring them. So anyway, that's my feeling.
You got a lot of faith in humanity.
Yeah, he does.
It's not, you do. I think you do. And I don't say that critically.
I think humanity, I think human beings get it wrong a lot.
Yeah.
I'm willing to accept that in order to have free speech. I think it's that important.
Yep.
But what Sharon said made me pause. Here's what she said.
Elon Musk is going to bring Trump back to Twitter. What's your thoughts on that?
Hey, listen, if they have the Taliban and they have the guy that runs Iran, they might as well have Trump.
Well, she went on to say, Taliban, Trump, it's fine.
Let them all
invite
on
them
there.
All back.
Here's the thing, and to your point about violence, what about inciting violence? So let's just be clear about why Trump was banned in the first place. Is because Twitter felt that in the immediate aftermath of January 6th, he was egging on his supporters even more, fanning the flames even more, and he was. If you go back and look at some of those tweets and some of those videos, you could argue he was certainly.
We've got to be very careful about what kind of speech we're calling an incitement to violence. That has to be, to Harvey's point, an exceptionally narrow category. Otherwise, it starts swallowing real speech.
Is the argument that Twitter's definition
come here and raid the Capitol?
Well, right, that's not what he said. But you're right. So it's not what he said.
But I think Fabian, I think your point is really good, actually, because I do think that Trump is in that zip code.
Well,
of potentially inciting violence.
Yeah,
he was. I think he was in that zip code.
Yeah, I mean, look, these are the judgments, though, you guys are willing to make on free speech.
I'm willing to get dangerous.
You don't like
I am willing to carve out an exception.
Direct calls for violence, by the way,
that it doesn't necessarily even mean that you ban somebody permanently,
right.
But you certainly can ban any speech that seems to be inciting violence, whether it's direct or substantially indirect, but substantial.
Right. Sure, if it poses that imminent threat of violence, but not just a belief system, because then you get into the value judgments that I think Harvey doesn't want to mess around with. I mean, that's what free speech is. He can agree with the rioters. That's okay.
Sure.
Isn't it?
I can agree with the rioters. That is not an incitement to violence if I said, I think it was good that they stormed the Capitol. It's not an incitement to violence in any way, shape, or form.
That's true.
We got to be really careful about what we're calling incitement to violence, what we're calling dangerous speech, because those categories traditionally in First Amendment law are exceptionally narrow, right?
Right.
Yep. And they're narrow
for a
reason.
Like, you have to actually speak the words instead of, you can't just like mean the words, or you can't like what your intent was. It's like, it has to be the actual direct words.
It doesn't have to be, I don't think it has to be direct, but I think it has to be clear enough. There's not like it's not like a slot machine where you put the money and you pull the lever and you get a result. It's a slippery slope.
Right.
But I think, you know, if you carve out this exception, which I think is an important one to carve out, I look at what's going on in this country right now, and everybody, and you look at Congress, and both sides, it's like, yeah, ban that. And it's like, ban anything that you don't agree with.
Yeah, we're very quick to ban. That I'll acknowledge. But let me just ask
to me, it's one of the most serious problems with our democracy.
For sure.
I agree.
Remember how breathtaking it is to have banned a sitting president. I mean, I am no fan of Donald Trump. I think he's abhorrent, and I'm happy that he's out of office.
I have a question.
But banning a sitting president is so unprecedented.
I have a question. If there was Twitter, and let's forget about it, whether Twitter went back then. If Richard Nixon were president today and Watergate happened and Richard Nixon...
If he had the Twitter platform, he would have been tweeting all day, all night, probably.
If he were lying about Watergate, which he was...
Yeah, he was.
Would they ban him?
Because you could argue this misinformation, technically, right? I mean, that's... I don't know. The old guards of Twitter probably would have banned him. But let me just ask you this on the question.
That's a big problem. I know my daughter Nixon, so I seem biased, but that's a big problem if you're starting to ban people for standing up for themselves and saying, well, that's a lie.
Right.
But it was a lie. But it was a lie.
He was lying. A lot of people lie. Yeah, so we're going to ban lying. People lie every 3 to 4 minutes, according to studies.
It's true.
Well, and again, my pal, Bill Maher.
I know your guy.
Okay. He said, you know, on Friday night, he was so smart. Oh, he's so smart. He was talking about, you know, there are so many half-truths. Half-truths in politics are the equivalent of full-truths.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, if you can get halfway there, you're...
And it's true, because when you look at these campaign ads and everything else, they only tell half the story, because all they're trying to do is smear the other guy and boost up themselves.
Right.
And
politics.
So, and okay, but then do you ban half-truths?
Right.
Or quarter-truths? And, I mean, he made such a good point that you've just got to tolerate... shit.
Yeah. You got
to
do.
In order to have a free society. And I don't think America has the stomach for that anymore.
I agree. And that's a big problem.
And we are looking to external threats,
right?
You know, terrorists and Putin and everything else, which we should. There's an internal problem.
Yeah, there is.
That is ominous.
So quick answer for both of you. Should Donald Trump have been banned in the first place? And more importantly, should he be brought back by Elon Musk? Should he be allowed to come back?
I'll let you.
Do you think he should have been banned in the first place?
Look, my feeling is, I think he is.
Or should that tweet have been banned?
I think Donald, personally, I think he's a threat to America, a real threat to America. With the, you know, I just, the idea that somebody would try to maintain power and upend the government is appalling to me.
100%.
And this bullshit about the election being stolen.
You're right.
I mean, at a point,
January 6th changed everything. It,
well,
I mean, Trump was already
even
bad
before.
But I'll be honest. Even the people who were like still riding with Trump toward the end, I think January 6th changed everything.
Okay.
They're like, we can't back this nonsense. This is fucking crazy.
And all of that said, I'm just telling you, it's like we don't. It's like Americans don't have faith in Americans.
Yeah.
Because if you put Trump's bullshit out there and then you let people address it, let people discuss it. Because guess what? If the people on Trump's side are going to believe him, they're going to believe him whether he's on Twitter or not. But what about the other people? You want to be exposed to the ideas that may even be toxic around, so you understand them, you can deal with them,
right.
you can counter them.
Count them down, yeah.
Right,
down,
as opposed
right.
to now Trump's in his own platform, so there people are in their own world.
A platform he doesn't even use, apparently.
Right, no, but they're going to come, but what's going to happen is they're going to all come together,
right.
And it's going to explode.
Right.
I'll be more forceful even than Harvey. He should never have been banned. It only worsened the problem.
Right.
You cannot, this is to Elon's point, you cannot hope to contain free speech by eliminating it off one platform. He found another platform. It only furthers their belief
right.
that their messiah is right. under assault by the libs.
True.
This was the worst move. Played directly into their hand. He
yeah.
goes and finds another platform. He may get reelected.
Because
he is a danger to America.
He's
more of a danger because of eliminating
That's
him.
True.
He is.
Yeah.
He is.
So,
in my mind.
I kind of want to end with something, and I don't know, maybe I'm being self-indulgent here, but I'm going to do it. This Andy Warhol painting.
Oh, the Marilyn Monroe one, yes.
That sold for $195 million.
Yeah.
It's really stunning. It's the most an American artist has ever received.
Yeah.
The reason I wanted
living
to-
Living artist, yeah.
Any artist.
Is it any artist?
Any artist, yeah.
I thought it was live. Oh,
no,
wow.
Any Jeez. Artist.
Oh, yeah, beat the Hockney, too.
There is a documentary on Netflix.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard about it.
I just finished it last night. It's a 6-part documentary on Andy Warhol. It's called The Diary of Andy Warhol. I read the book 25 years ago.
Mm.
And I don't remember many books where I would say the movie was better than the book or the TV show was better than the book. This one is.
Sure.
And,
he's a visual artist. You want to see what
but
you actually...
It's not just it's not the paintings. It's the story. And it is, I'll tell you, it really hit
Did
me.
Did it capture his influence on culture at that time?
Yeah. It captures everything. And, you know, it captures his life and how it intersects with pop culture and how he became the pop culture guy that could be in 2022 on every media platform there could be. All of that said, his personal life and the struggle he went through is so moving. And, you know, and at the end, you know, last two segments, they talk about AIDS. And, you know, I'm an old guy now. And I lived through that.
Right.
And had, you know, a lot of my friends die in their 20s and 30s. And my partner died. And it was just a horrendous time. And it's hard to explain that to people who didn't live through it.
Right.
And they had people on who did. And it was so poignant and moving and really brings back, you know, the horrible memories, but it's just – important to remember.
Sure. Yeah.
And how, and you know, and to remember how society has evolved. And, you know, you watch how everything was hidden back then. And, you know, even with AIDS, that, you know, the shame of having AIDS back then because of the fear of being kicked out of your apartment, fired from your job, right. losing your friends, your family turning on you, all of that stuff.
The movie Philadelphia captured that.
Yeah, like, even in my lifetime, I was the tail end of it. But in the 80s were rough, man. And before then, it was an absolute death sentence. It was a strange time.
Well, it was a death sentence.
It was.
It was a death sentence.
And we don't think, the young people don't think of it that way anymore because of the medical advances. Right. But there was a death sentence.
There is no way people can understand it unless you lived through it.
Right.
And they have people on who did. And you get to know them through this documentary. But it's not just about that. But that, what to me, was such a poignant, it's just so well presented.
Sure.
It really is worth watching.
I'll definitely check it out. Quick question then. So with all that said, is the price tag for this painting warranted? $195 million? That seems like absurd.
I feel good about
that's
it.
That's a gross amount of money for a painting to me. Like, that's crazy.
He's one of our proudest American creations. He's so distinctly American. And for him to hold the record as the American artist with the highest selling painting feels right to me.
Yet.
Yeah.
When you look at his life, he wasn't particularly well-respected among other artists.
Mm.
And a lot of people felt that Andy Warhol had his heyday in the 60s and early 70s, and they said afterward it was just not the same.
Right. He lost that appeal, the luster kind of thing.
He didn't lose it. He was still enormously popular, but there was a respect issue that really dogged him. And as soon as he died, and he died, do you know how he died?
No.
Colon cancer?
No. He had a gallbladder operation, and the hospital committed malpractice on him and killed him at 58 years old. And as soon as he died, all of a sudden the retrospective started.
Right. And then his paintings started going up.
But I think really unfair to say that Andy Warhol lost it after the 70s. He didn't. I mean, some of the works that he did, and they get into it, and they get into the significance of it, and how he tried to intersect with gay culture, and it is the layers of this documentary.
Right.
I'm telling you, it's one of the most impactful things I've watched in ages.
Yeah.
It's really good, guys.
Definitely check it out.
Okay. Have a good one. We'll see you Friday.
Thanks. Yeah.